Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, a belated, preempted, and abbreviated John Whitmer Show. But I'm still happy to be here. I'm actually happy to be back behind the microphone. I was sick. Then we had that terrible Super Bowl. And then I was broadcasting live from Topeka. So it is nice to be home, even though it's abbreviated. Happy to have you here with us this evening. We're going to get right to it. Don't forget, by the way, to listen to the Carry On commentaries every day here, Monday through Friday. And tickets are selling fast, by the way, for the 2025 KFL, Kansans for Life Banquet at Park City Arena with Rachel Campos Duffy from Fox News. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you can find them at KFL.org. We had a whole bunch of guests for you tonight. We've pushed the bulk of them to next Sunday, including Ty Masterson, the Senate president, who has been very gracious and agreed to let me kind of give the bulk of my show this evening to Ben Davis from Vote No Bond. And we'll have him on here in a minute to kind of talk to us about what's coming up here on Tuesday, which is the massive tax increase vote that Wichita voters have been voting on. Not enough of them, by the way, but Wichita voters will be going to the polls on Tuesday, and we'll have Ben Davis from Vote No Bond to give us a final update on their efforts to educate Wichita voters on why they should oppose the bond. And of course, we'll be taking your calls at 869-1330. So, and it's that bit of the bond that I want to talk about briefly before we get to Ben. The group supporting the $450 million bond say the plan will mean real improvements for our kids. And they try and make it all about kids. And you know, I mean, that's right. You give them credit. That's what they can do. That's what they lean on. The naysayers out there will say it's about developers and architects. And there may be something to that, considering the architects have been paying for a heck of a lot of social media advertising. But I question how it will bring real improvement. How does a new building improve outcomes? And the answer is clearly it doesn't, because currently 19% of Wichita public school students are proficient in reading, 16% are proficient in math, and those numbers have remained essentially flat, or in some cases actually declined, since the last bond, which passed in 2008, and was also sold on the premise that new buildings will mean real improvement for our kids. And you know the old phrase, fool me once, shame on you. Folks, you vote yes, it's a fool me twice, shame on you. Don't be fooled. Take the new Southeast High School was the most expensive project funded by the 2008 bond. It was built for $68 million, by the way, $14 million over budget. And the whole premise was, oh, if you build it, it'll help students and it'll address overcrowding. Well, not only is the school still overcrowded, but student achievement outcomes are even worse than they were before they built the new school. How will this project be any different? Why are we spending $450 million on new schools when student proficiency scores continue to decline? In non-public sector jobs, if you continue to fail at your job, you get fired. You don't get a $450 million raise, which is effectively what they're asking for. You don't get rehired for the same job when you're failing to do the job that you've been hired to do, which is educate children and get them college and career ready. The district will tell you graduation rates are improving. Great if you're graduating kids who can't read and write. What does it matter if they're graduating? Voters wonder about the $710 million in bond money that's already been spent on buildings while test scores continue to decline. Voters wonder how the district is asking to spend $450 million on new schools while a majority of even their own teachers think the school district is on the wrong track. The bottom line is taxes keep going up. We just found out this week. 9% expected property tax increase from the county. You want a tax cut? Vote no on Tuesday. It's that simple. Student scores keep going down. Buildings are not the problem. The district claims this new bond will deliver better results for the future. Well, we haven't seen that in the past, so what will change? The district's failed to deliver on the promises of their last bond. Why will this be any different? The bottom line is property taxes keep going up, student scores keep going down, and contrary to what the district says, passing an additional $450 million bond, which, by the way, is just part of a $2 billion master plan, isn't going to strengthen education, help teachers, or improve student behavior. It's not the solution, because it doesn't solve the problem. Pouring millions of dollars into new buildings will not deliver results. Wichita kids deserve better investments. They deserve money in the classroom, not in the ceiling, HVACs, windows, and ceiling tiles. I encourage all of you to vote no on this bond and demand real solutions for our children. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk with Ben Davis from Vote No Bond. He's going to try and explain in simple terms, because I'm nowhere near as articulate as Ben is, about why you should vote no on the $450 million tax increase. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I talk a lot about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They've got an incredible event coming up tomorrow morning, put on. It's an event by Americans for Prosperity. It's a discussion on conservative principles and budget reconciliation with Speaker of the House Johnson. It's an incredible opportunity. Speaker Johnson will be joining AFP for a live event. I've shared a link to that event on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. It's a discussion on his policies, on his budget reconciliation. It's an event that's going on tomorrow at noon Eastern with Americans for Prosperity. And Fox News's Guy Benson. It's a great opportunity for you to join this live conversation with Speaker Johnson. If you're interested, you can sign up at afp.org. Great opportunity to hear exactly straight from the Speaker of the House. And of course, while you're online, you can follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So, as I mentioned earlier, Wichita voters will go to the polls. They've already been voting, although the turnout has been predictably low, which is what USD 259 wanted. So they'll be going to vote on Tuesday to decide the school bond initiative, the tax increase. The group formed in opposition to the bond issue says the district should focus first on improving student performance. A novel concept. Where have I heard that before? Rather than building new facilities. The group of VoteNoBond.com points out that student performance on state standardized tests are below state average and have been going down instead of going up. With us now to explain why he says voters should reject the current bond initiative is Ben Davis. Ben, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
I watched the televised one you did with Channel 12, and it was very interesting when you brought up achievement. The guy from the opposition, from the Vote Yes crowd, which, by the way, the Vote Yes thing is basically just parroting what the district, their talking points.
Exactly.
So, but he tried to brush off the scores thing by saying, well, you have to look at a holistic 30,000 foot. he really didn't have anything to push back on those numbers, did he?
No, he didn't. So there's only really two responses from the Say Yes campaign when I bring up proficiency scores. The first is to say that I'm cherry-picking data, which I'm sure we can get into here in a minute.
From the Kansas Department of Education,
yeah, from the Kansas Department of Education.
It's their own data.
Exactly, that I don't know how to read the data, that I'm cherry-picking data, or that – well, a proficiency score or a standardized test does not encapsulate the entirety of a student and doesn't, you know, there's a lot more going on the ground.
Yeah, he used
classroom.
That phrase. Yeah. Which is a whole lot of malarkey. If you
it's
ask
a deflection.
Me.
Yeah. They're just deflecting. Okay, yeah. When I ask them, well, what data am I cherry picking? They don't really have a response to that. They just keep saying, well, you're cherry picking data. The same thing with the slush fund. Same thing with the budget that I have misunderstood something. I don't understand how to read a spreadsheet or a budget
scores. It's 80% of students that don't know how to read, but that's their data again.
Yeah. Well, I did graduate from North High School, but you know, mine was
then maybe
from,
you can't read.
Maybe I can't read, but, I think I did do fairly well on my standardized tests. But, anyway, yeah. So the scores are what they are. And here's at the end of the day, I've been saying this from the very beginning. It was not my original intent to make the proficiency scores a part of this campaign. I mean, the bond kind of speaks for itself, and why you should vote against it speaks for itself, because it is a tax increase at the end of the day. It is a tax increase. But from day one, when I started looking at what 259 was putting out of why they wanted to pass this bond and what they were promising that passing this bond was going to do, from day one, they started saying, well, if we pass this bond, we're going to see massive improvement in achievement from USD 259 students. And I'm saying, well, okay, show us the evidence where that's the case. And there isn't any. There isn't any evidence to suggest that if we pass this bond, that we are going to see a massive net improvement in proficiency scores.
And you can say that because it hasn't happened in the past.
No, it hasn't happened in the past. And look, we can get into all kinds of issues of proficiency scores and how to slice that data. And we can get into the semantics game on what constitutes proficiency or not. But all we have to do, and you mentioned it in your opening, is go look at Southeast High School. Go look at Southeast High School. Southeast High School, as you mentioned, was the largest line item from the 2008 bond, $14 million over budget, opened its doors in 2016. That school's not even 10 years old. And it has all the big bells and whistles and all the lighting and the windows and the fresh paint, all the things they say they need for good, ideal learning environments. And the scores there have been abysmal since day one. And whoever the genius was who planned Southeast High School, obviously didn't anticipate that they were going to be over max capacity almost from day one. The school was built for 2,000 students, and it's been over max capacity, like I said, since day one, which has led to all kinds of behavioral issues. There's fighting, violence. I've spoken to teachers, parents, people at Southeast High School that said that the place is just erupting all the time with disciplinary issues, violence, things like that going on. I mean, they were on the news 2 years ago because a freshman was kicked in the back of the head so severely that the doctor said he'd been kicked one more time, he could have died. I mean, those are the kinds of issues that we're dealing with just at Southeast High School. So to say that this bond and building all these new schools is somehow going to see a net improvement in either behavior or in proficiency scores is either misleading, or that person is just, you know, they're wrong. They're flat out wrong, and they just are not looking at the evidence.
The other stat that they point to, and when I had Kelly Bielfeld on the show, he spoke to graduation rates, and they tout that. Your opponent or your counterpart in the debate brought that up as well. But I hate that stat, because all that tells me is that you're graduating people. But if you're graduating kids that are not college and career ready, then you're just cranking them through the system in order to get your graduation rate.
That's exactly right. Obviously, the standards have changed. Their 259 is just not being forthcoming about what standards changed.
Back when I went to school, if you didn't pass those tests, you didn't graduate. They were unfortunate, but that was the facts. Now it seems like, well, we'll just dumb down the standards in order to graduate you.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they've had to do in order to graduate or increase the graduation rate of that many students. If we are graduating at a higher rate than we have in a decade or two decades, yet the proficiency scores are flat or continue to decline, then, like I said, it stands to reason that the standards have changed and we're graduating students who are not at basic proficient at math and reading and science, which is, again, that's ultimately a disservice to the student. We owe our students better. I've been saying since day one, we need a strong public education system. For 99% of the kids in 259, and indeed from around America, in order to have a shot at achieving the American dream, they have to have a strong public education.
Yeah, agreed.
We need a robust public education. But this bond is a distraction from really serving and meeting the needs of 259 students and closing down all. And I'll say this too. You know, the first stage of this bond, and you mentioned this in your opening. I want to be very clear about this for all your listeners. If this bond passes on Tuesday, it's going to give the school district some wind in its sails to come down to us in another 2 or 3 years to go after phase two of this facilities master plan. This is just phase one, the $450 million. If they implement phase two and then phase three, it'll be $2.1 billion with a B, $2.1 billion just in principle. That doesn't include the interest we'll have to pay on it. I'll have great grandchildren paying this debt off. And so this first phase, the $450 million, you can go read it for yourself. It's all public documents. They want to do some, you know, sprucing up on some of these older facilities, but their plan is to continue to shut down schools, primarily elementary schools. They're going to shut them down regardless of if the bond passes or not. And they want to rebuild all these elementary schools. Well, you know, that's not going to do anything for the graduation rate or for the proficiency scores at the middle or high school level. And it's going to be years before we even go down and start rebuilding all of these new schools. So what's going to happen in the intermediate? I mean, new HVAC system, all of these other things are somehow going to dramatically help these students. You know, your listeners were probably aware of on Friday, 259 put out a Facebook post saying that
I was going to ask you about this. Yes.
Yes. So yes. We are very reluctant to have our students go back to school. I think it was Minnehaha Elementary because the buildings are so old and they're really struggling to keep up.
And we can't keep the building heated above 60 degrees.
Exactly.
Is what they claim.
Exactly. Well, my wife and I went back through 259's Facebook post. My wife is really savvy on social media, and she went back through the last 2 years of 259 on social media. We could not find one post from 259 stating that the buildings are so old and parents use caution when sending your kids to school because they're going to have to bundle up in the classroom. It is very clear that this entire thing was politicized. Mr. Newman, who's the facilities director, was like smiling and laughing on TV. It's almost sinister on Friday evening saying it was so fortuitous that our boilers just happened to give out right at this time.
It did seem very conveniently timed.
Oh, absolutely. I think voters see all through that. And again, who's at the disadvantage? The kids. The kids are the ones at a disadvantage. 259, it's not even just about getting proficiency scores up. It's the fact that 259 almost has a $1 billion budget. I listened to your show last week when Superintendent Bielefeld was on here talking about how much money they have. That number fluctuates with him all the time. Sometimes it's 20 million. Sometimes it's 40 million. We're hearing different numbers. All anybody has to do is go to 259's public budget, the 2024-2025 budget. It's a 177-page document. And go look at pages 83 through 88, I think, is where you'll find it. And you'll see capital outlay. That's all the massive sheet that they have to take care of buildings, maintenance issues, all that stuff. There's no 20 million, 40 million. Total capital outlay expenditures for 2024-2025, $115 million. They spent $77 million on contractors, over $2 million on architects, over $300,000 on professional uniforms. I have no idea what that is. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in some category known as other, whatever that means. And yet we have students who are having to wear coats in the classroom because it's convenient that their boiler happened to go out or have issues 3 days out before a bond vote. 259 are not being good stewards with the money that they have. It's not a matter that they're running out of money or that the buildings are old. It's that they are not maintaining them. Why has this crisis been allowed to go on this early? Why are we just now hearing about it? There's so many questions, and they think that this bond is just going to be this big panacea. And you know what? It probably will be for a year until they come back to taxpayers, to seniors living on fixed incomes, people who are struggling, and say, oh, no, we're going to need more of your money. And guess what? There's not going to be any accountability, no transparency, because it's all for the kids. And if you don't vote for it, then you're against 259 kids.
Yeah,
it's all going to be shaming.
You're against kids. You're against teachers.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad you brought up some of those expenditures, because even I asked Kelly, I mean, they've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars just to do this election in glossy 13 by 11, double-sided four color mailers and text messages and social media advertising and a consultant to come in and help sell this. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, how many teachers, how many paras could they have put in classrooms for what they've spent on marketing for this bond initiative? I mean, and that's just what the district, that's taxpayer money, let alone what the architects and the people who are supporting this have spent trying to get people to vote for it.
So. Absolutely. I mean, if you go talk to any teacher. I've got teachers in public school teachers in my family. Go talk to any teacher and you'll constantly hear stories of them having to use their own money to buy coats and supplies and things like that for their classroom because there's no budget. But yet 259 clearly has enough money to spend, what, $130,000 on a special election to drive low voter turnout?
Yeah, just for the election.
Just for the election. Another, what, $312,000 on consultants who can, you know, run this campaign and manage the bond. And then hundreds of thousands of dollars in, you know, glossy finished print mailers to send out all of us to propagandize all of us to come and vote for this to raise our taxes. So clearly they have enough money for that. But then we have teachers who have to, you know, provide school supplies for disadvantaged and poor students. So 259 and the administration of 259, you look, when I started this campaign a few months ago, I went into it thinking, okay, I stand firmly against this bond. But, you know, everybody on the other side seems to be, you know, pretty good folks, whatever. I'm coming on the other side and I'm being pretty skeptical now. I think, quite frankly, there's a been a lot of disingenuous rhetoric coming out of the Yes campaign and out of the school district. They are not especially forthcoming. They seem far too willing and easy to just throw taxpayer dollars around to try to get their own way instead of being better stewards of taxpayer dollars. I really don't know if 259, the administration of 259, if these are people that we need to be trusting going forward.
We're talking with Ben Davis from VoteNoBond.com. Ben, I want to continue the conversation. I've got to take a quick break. Do you mind sticking around?
Absolutely.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk to Ben, and if we can, we'll take a few calls. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's also appropriate. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 13.3. Well, maybe not any USD 259 education. Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. It's a community of millions of concerned citizens. They've been out knocking doors. Trust me, I know I've seen them out there in the cold knocking doors. If you want to get involved, if you want to help, educate voters, get the word out on things, make your voice heard today, visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and True Social page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We'll be heading back to Topeka later in March, but might be as early as the first or second weekend in March. Thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. Stick around, check out the Facebook page. We'll get you updates on that. With us still is Ben Davis from VoteNoBond.com. So, Ben, one of the things that you said, you mentioned you heard the interview that we did with Kelly Bielfeld. I asked him in the course of that interview, one of the questions was, well, what happens if, you know, if votes no, which I hope they do, if voters vote no. And he basically said, well, we'll go ahead with it anyway, which really wanted me to prompt the question of, well, then why do you need the money if you can do it anyway? And it's really, it's because it's more convenient this way, isn't it?
That's exactly right. Mr. Bielefeld, welcome to leadership.
Yeah, thank you. It's called budgeting.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Welcome to having to make
it's
difficult decisions.
It's called living within your means.
So, I mean, that's what this is. And you don't get to just go to taxpayers and, you know, demand $450 million to make it easier for your job.
Well, and one of the things that frustrated me, it seemed like, you know, if they had said, okay, let's look at the budget, see what we need. We need $196 million. Let's go and ask for $196 million. But rather, what it seems to me is, how much was the old bond? $450 million? Let's go ask for the old bond. That's what it feels like to me. And then they figured out, okay, how much do we need to spend in order to get to 450? Does that kind of jive with
what
you see?
Yeah. And they've couched the whole thing in terms like they're trying to give us a break. Because they said, well, you know, this mill levy was 7.6, and we could have asked for more money, but we decided to give everybody a break and keep the rate flat at 7.5 mills.
A break.
Yes.
How generous.
Exactly. We could have asked for more money, but we're going to do this. Well, it's because they know that this is just phase one.
Right.
And then, you know, once they think that the public's collective memory is beginning to fade, then they'll throw another big guilt trip, shame fest on us about passing phase two and then phase three until, like I said, we're $2.1 billion, probably more at that time, billion dollars into this thing. And we'll probably have very, very little to show for it. We may have new schools,
but that's it.
It'll be the exact same thing.
Even if you look at what the projects that they've got on here, they say this is all for deferred maintenance, but there are a lot of projects on here that have nothing to do with deferred maintenance. I mean, one of them's getting Northeast Magnet High School is getting new athletic fields.
Exactly.
That's not deferred maintenance.
It's not.
That's new athletic fields.
Minnehaha Elementary, where they did the big story on Friday where the boilers were difficult. I was grateful for at least one of the news stations that said that they asked 259, so is Minnehaha's boilers going to be a part of the bond money if it passes? And they said, no, it's not. It's not even going to be a part of that. They said, but it will free up some capital to be able to do that. Look, at the bottom line is this, and I have been accused by people who are on the school board, others, of lying, being, you know, misreading this, not knowing how to read a budget. They have $348 million sitting in reserve right now. And again, you have to go look at the budget. You can see at the end of their fiscal year, this is how much money. Mr. Harris of the teachers union said, well, he's just cherry picking this again. And it's like we got paid and then the next day we have to pay our bills. No, it's as if I got a paycheck. I paid all my bills. I get paid the next day and I still have $500 left over that I can then put in my savings account. That's the better analogy. They've paid their bills. They have money left over, carryover. They can put it in reserve. It's all sitting there. Now, some of that money by law is earmarked. I think roughly $82 million of that is earmarked for bond interest payments. They have $84 million earmarked by law for capital outlay, which, John, I'm sure you knew this when you were in the legislature. Yep. By law, you have to use that money on capital expenses. So there's $84 million. So again, we're sending our kids into, you know, suboptimal temperatures with coats on, but yet we're sitting on at least $84 million in capital reserve,
which could be spent on HVAC systems.
Exactly. Yeah. And not to mention the $178 million sitting in something called general. Now they said, well, all that money's been spoken for with our internal budget.
Then re-speak for it.
Exactly. That may be the case, but does all $178 million have to be, you know, spoken for internally? Again, this is about leadership. It's about priorities. And they seem far too willing, whether it's, again, throwing special elections and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it or whatever, to just think that the taxpayers are going to continue to bail them out, and they don't have to be super forthcoming. I can't tell you how many teachers I've heard from, and actually I was at an event earlier tonight and heard from somebody who spoke to some other teachers at a dinner, and the teachers were speaking with one another freely at this dinner saying they were against the bond. They don't know why the district is doing this. A lot of the teachers think that the school district is being disingenuous, less than forthcoming with them about the facts of why they're doing this, why they continue to close down these schools, and that they have not really thought through this facility's master plan, that they're far more beholden to the consultants who are going to make millions of dollars off of this than they are to the community or the teachers or the students.
I've got about a couple minutes left here. I know you've been working doors. You've done a lot of forums. What has been the response from voters by and large?
By and large, the response has been overwhelmingly, positive towards my direction, negative towards the bond. We've had some people who have certainly been on the fence, but I think once they start to learn the facts, and especially the seniors and people who need a tax break, they're overwhelmingly against this. But I don't want to take anything for granted. This thing could still succeed. What we need are people to show up. Look, it's, John, you've been a part of campaigns. You know how this works. It's one thing for people to tell you something at the door or to say it in a phone call or stop you on the street if they recognize you or whatever. But it's another thing to have those people care enough about the issue to not just be against it at the door or on the phone, but then to convert that to passion, to going to the polls, to actually go and vote. Look, multiple polling locations. You can vote at any one of them. The polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's one question. You go in, you vote no, and you leave. It'll be 5 minutes in and out. You can get this thing done if you haven't voted already. But to defeat this thing, we need the people who are against it to show up and not just vote for themselves a tax decrease, but to send a very, very strong, clear message to 259 that we're just not going to allow you to continue to take advantage of us anymore. And we need you to get focused on educating our kids and living within your means and being responsible with a $1 billion budget rather than asking us for a tax increase.
Yeah, I keep telling folks, if you've got a $200,000 home, it's about $175 a year tax cut. When you're looking at a 10% roughly tax increase coming from the county next year, mm-hmm. on top of that schools, on top of that whatever the city mm-hmm. may do, here's a way to directly impact your bottom line.
That's it.
And the school district will be fine. They'll find a way.
They will.
That's what happens. You know, maybe I don't get the Disney Channel this year. Maybe I got to cancel my Disney Plus subscription. Same thing here. The district can find a way. As you said, Kelly Bielfeld said on my show last week, we can do it without the bond. Well, guess what, Kelly? I'm hoping that come Tuesday, you'll find that you have to. Ben, I appreciate you, my friend. Again, if folks want to, they can get more information at votenobond.com. I know you've been working hard. Keep up the good work. I know my wife's been out there. I've gone out and door knocked. The response has been good for us. So wish you the best of luck and keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Folks, I appreciate you. Sorry we had such an abbreviated show tonight. We'll be back regular time, 7 o'clock next Sunday. And in the meantime, with, by the way, Senate President Ty Masterson. In the meantime, have a great week and carry on, fellow deplorables.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.